Thank you very much indeed for those messages and song. And we certainly have appreciated the ministry of this little man. I said this man even makes me feel big. Certainly Lord has given him a voice to sing in the choir. We appreciate that ministry indeed. You've got your Bible with you tonight. We're reading in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and we will commence at the opening verse. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. God will add his blessing to the reading of his inspired word. Can we just bow together for prayer and ask for the Lord's help? Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we do rejoice again tonight in what our ears have already heard. We thank thee for the messages and song that have been rendered to our hearts. Our Father, we rejoice that there's no friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're glad that he is the friend of sinners. Our Father, we pray that you will write those truths upon our hearts and also the message from the hymns that we were singing together. And that tonight there might be those who lay hold upon eternal life will be born of thy Holy Spirit and washed in thy blood, made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Maybe having come into this meeting condemned in their sin, may they go away with a crown of God's salvation upon them. We pray for help in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. O God, we ask for your anointing. Pray that the fire of God will burn upon the altar of this life, and that this voice might be heaven's voice to some dear heart. And that tonight men and women and young people might strive to enter in at the straight gate, lay hold upon the Savior. Our Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to each and to every one of us. And every eye will behold him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Our Father, we just pray that you'll still our hearts in these closing moments and challenge our hearts and make it an evening of judgment day, honest day, and an evening of divine intervention and salvation. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. We're taking the very last phrase of verse 5 to form the words of our text for this evening, where the Lord said to Zacchaeus, Today I must abide at thy house. Today, I must abide at thy house. The subject that I want to leave with you tonight, and the theme that we want to consider, is the importance of this day. And I'd like you to understand this very simple but very solemn truth. That for someone in this meeting, there might never be another day like this day. Because that's exactly how it was in the life of Zacchaeus. That was a very, very big day in his life. That was a very, very important day in his life. There was never, ever going to be another day like that day. And that day was holding out to that man an opportunity. And had he not grasped that opportunity and laid hold upon it, then that opportunity would never, ever have come his way again. You know, people live their life today as if it were never going to end. And they live their life as if they were never going to die. But I want you to stop for a moment to pause and to consider your latter end, lest in your life never another day like this day. Alexander Smillie, a Christian writer and a gospel preacher of a bygone day, he said this, that there are two sworn enemies of my soul, and their names are yesterday and tomorrow. He went on to say that one of the enemy of my soul, he slays his thousands, and the other, he slays his tens of thousands. He said, yesterday slays his thousands. What he seeks to do is simply this, is to plunge me down into the depths of darkness and awful despair. He says to me, you have missed your chances, your God-given opportunities. You have trampled them all under your feet, lifting up the fist of your heart in rebellion against your Creator. There will be no more priceless opportunities for you. And he leaves me, feeling that God has forsaken me, and God is no longer interested in my soul. Thus, yesterday slays his thousands. But tomorrow, he slays his tens of thousands. And of course, his tactics are the very opposite of that of yesterday. Wonderful vows, wonderful promises, promises that will never be fulfilled, good intentions that will never come to anything. He tells me, indeed, I need to be saved, but I don't need to be saved tonight. And thus, he slays his tens of thousands. Because, tragically, there are many people in this province, and there are many people across the face of the world tonight, and it's not that they are atheistic in their believing. Indeed, they actually believe that they are answerable to someone higher and holier than themselves, and they believe that they indeed need to know Christ as their Savior. But what they believe is this, that they don't need to know Him just now. They need to be saved, but not tonight. Just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. When you feel that you are dying, you'll get saved, but not tonight. And they put no importance upon this moment. They put no importance upon this day. My friend, there'll never be another day like this for you. And there never was another day for Zacchaeus like that day. That was a vital day. That was visitation day. That was the all-important day. Though if he had not laid hold upon the Savior that day, then surely from the record of the verses that we read together, he never would have had another opportunity. So Jesus says today, I must abide at thy house. I want you to notice in the first place here, the constraint in his soul. The Bible says in verse 3 that he sought to see Jesus who he was. Wonder tonight, do you have any constraint in your heart, any interest in your soul to know the Savior? I am sure that if we ask you at the door, do you ever plan or purpose to be in heaven? Everyone without hesitation would say, yes, of course I plan to get to heaven. I wonder, friend, when you ever plan to start. There's many an individual plan to get to heaven, but sadly, they never got to heaven. Good intentions were not good enough. And he had a constraint in his heart to see the Savior. The Bible says in verse 1, and Jesus entered. And Jesus passed through Jericho. And so on that occasion, this man wants to see Christ. Because you will note that Jesus is only passing through. And we come back to that in a moment. But under the constraint in his heart or soul, you will see the man's attitude. Now keep in mind who he was and what he was. The Bible says that he was a publican. In fact, he was a chief publican. Now, of course, when we would think of a publican today, we're thinking of someone who's selling the devil's liquor. And in his sinful business, damning people in a lost eternity. But that's not the business that he's in. He's a tax collector. And you know, they weren't very popular people, and they weren't very much liked, and they often had to live a very lonely existence. Of course, I'm inclined to think that maybe those in the same business today are still not very much liked. But what would happen was this, that chief tax collectors, they would rent or they would buy an area from the government. The government would set the level of tax. And these men would purchase the right to collect the taxes. But they often set their level at a much higher level than the government set it. The government wasn't interested as long as it got its money. And so these were often very, very sinful and very, very corrupt people. And that's why this character said when he came to Christ that he had taken anything from any man by false accusation, and no doubt he had. And these were not a people that were often found amongst the followers of the Lord. These were not a people that often showed any interest in spiritual things or getting right with the Savior. And yet, there's an interest in his heart. It's an amazing attitude to find in someone like this. I wonder tonight, is there any interest in your heart to know the Savior? You know, there's people tonight in this province, and they are deeply, deeply religious, and yet they have absolutely no interest in the Savior. It was the late Reverend Mann of Knocknamuckley Parish Church speaking to his congregation one Sunday morning. He said, there are many of you sitting here, and you are very, very religious. At the same time, you are deeply sinful. And there's people, and they would not miss the church on a Sabbath morning. And maybe you wouldn't miss this place on a Sabbath morning. And I have people who come to my church, and they wouldn't miss it on a Sabbath morning. And they've rang me on different occasions and said, Mr. Morrow, if there's anything we can do for you, we'd gladly do it. But they'll not do the thing I want them to do, is give their heart to Jesus Christ. And maybe you would live and you would die for this congregation. And maybe in the building of this building, you were there working your heart out, but you're not doing what you need to do. That is, give your heart to the Savior. Look at the man's effort. The Bible says in verse 4, he ran before him. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. In other words, whatever effort a man could make, he was going to make it to see the Savior. And the Bible says, he climbed up into the tree. Now, of course, the whole community was abuzz. Jesus was on his way up to Jerusalem. The people were thronging around him. He wanted to see him. He gets up into the tree. And you know, something happened that maybe Zacchaeus didn't think would happen. Because the Bible tells me in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, that is the place where this man was sitting up the tree, he looked up, he saw him, he said, did you ever think in your heart what must have been going through the mind of Zacchaeus at that particular moment? There he is, up the tree. Nobody will see me. I want to see this man that they call Jesus. And Jesus stops right under the tree where he is sitting. And the Bible says that Jesus came to the place. He looked up. What must have run through the mind of that little man that day? Surely, when Jesus looked up, Zacchaeus must have thought, this man sees me. And listen, folk, get that truth in your heart. For this man sees you. The things that nobody else sees, the things that nobody else knows anything about, even the very secret thoughts of your heart, this man sees you. The sins of childhood days, the sins of teenage years, the sins of young manhood and young womanhood, the sins of the middle years of life, the sins of old age, he sees them. Every one of them. There's nothing hidden from his eye. Even Hagar out in the wilderness said, thou God seest me. Oh, there's been many an awful crime carried out in this province in the darkness of the night. And men stole away in the darkness, believing no one ever seen them. But I tell you, friend, there's an eye that has seen them. And the Savior has seen them. And the wrong one day will be put right when God brings it all to the light of his judgment. It's a solemn, it's a searching thought, but Jesus sees you tonight. Does he see you in your sin? Or does he see you in his Son? Surely that little man must have thought, this man sees me. And the Bible says, that Jesus came to the place and he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. He must have realized he not only sees me, but he knows me. He's calling me by my name, Zacchaeus. He's never met me before. I've never met him before. In all probability, he's never seen him before. That's why he makes the effort. And yet Jesus says, Zacchaeus. He not only realized that the Savior saw him, but now the Savior knows him. My friend, I want to tell you something tonight, that the Savior not only sees us, but the Savior knows us, and knows us better than anybody else knows us, and knows us better than we know ourselves, and he tells us to the very hairs of our head, he knows us so well that they are numbered. There's nothing about your life and my life that Jesus doesn't know. And as we said last night, maybe you've drifted into a backslidden pathway, doing things you thought you'd never do, going places you thought you'd never go, saying things you thought you'd never say, and your mom and dad doesn't know where you are on a Friday night and on a Saturday night, and they don't know the things you're doing, don't know the places you're going, don't know what you're saying, but I tell you, Jesus knows. Knows everything in detail. He must have realized, this man sees me and this man knows me. Then he must have thought something else, because Jesus came to the place, looked up, saw him, said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Must have realized he not only sees me and knows me, but this man wants me. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. And oh, here is the glorious truth of the gospel, that while Jesus sees us in all our sin with its filth and pollution, yet this man wants you tonight. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. I can tell you on the authority of God's holy word, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And this Savior that died on the cross for your salvation wants you tonight. Don't you think the devil has had a say over your life too long? Oh, young person, don't give the best years of your life to the devil. Don't waste the best years of your life in sin. If Jesus Christ is worth anything, he's worth the best years of your life. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. And the Savior's calling you to get up out of your sin and come to Christ and live a life that's worth the living. We have not only the constraint in his soul, but we have then the command of the Savior. I want you to notice that this is a very vital day. And Jesus said, today I must abide at thy house. Be absolutely clear on this fact, that if Zacchaeus had not come to Christ that day, Zacchaeus would never have come to Christ. You see, not every day is visitation day spiritually. But that was visitation day to him. It was, first of all, a vital day. And I want you to notice the urgency. Jesus said, make haste and come down. In other words, come immediately, come quickly, come urgently. And there's always an urgency in the matter of your soul's salvation. You might say in your heart, oh, I'm young. Or you might be older and say, well, look, I can come another time. We have pointed out in the past that this is man's day. Can live as he likes. Can lie and cheat and curse and swear and blaspheme, it's his day. But then God's going to have a day. And that will be the awful day of righteous reckoning. And as you have treated God in your day, so God will treat you in his day. Yet this is a day of visitation. This is a day of opportunity. God calls you today to come to him. And my friend, there's an urgency in this matter. And the Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. There'll never be another day like this for him. It was visitation day. Now it's the case. Done what many people do and left the matter off until tomorrow. That would have been a day too late. Because the Bible says in verse 1 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jesus was on his journey up to Jerusalem. He's not coming back. He's going up to the cross. He's going up to die. And Jerusalem, why? That's only about 20 miles on up from Jericho. And the Savior's passing through, but he's not coming back. Therefore, we are looking at a man's last opportunity to be saved. Maybe tonight you're in this meeting, and though you are young, and though you have your health and all your faculties, this may be your last opportunity to be saved. How many put emphasis upon tomorrow? How many young people put emphasis upon tomorrow? And tomorrow found them in God's eternity. How many of our young people are killed on the roads and ushered into eternity? How many others sin away their day of opportunity? You have no guarantee of tomorrow. And you have no guarantee that the interest in your heart that is there tonight will be there tomorrow. Oh, there's a time to be saved, and it's today. And that's what Jesus was emphasizing. He said, today I must have it. Not tomorrow. Today. And my friend, you need to be saved. And you need to be saved today. You see, there are many people, and they do believe the truth of the gospel, that they need to be saved. And when we talk about that matter, I'm not talking about something that's optional in your life. There's people, and they seem to think that I may, I can, I might, or I should be saved. No, no. The Bible says you must. It's not optional. It's imperative. The Bible says you must be saved. For neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. It's a must. Be saved. And the Lord puts the emphasis upon that matter today. And what Jesus is saying to this man is, today you must be saved. Though I trust that the urgency grips your heart, so much so that you rise from your sin and flee from the wrath to come. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if you've missed your God-given opportunity to be saved? You know, sometimes when we think people committing the unpardonable sin, sinning away their day of opportunity, some people seem to think it's only old people do that. No, young man or young woman, you could do that tonight. You could get up out of this meeting, walk down that aisle, trample the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet, lift up the fists of your heart in rebellion against God and say, no, God, not for me. Never to hear God's voice again. and older people, you have had years, years of opportunity, more years behind you than you have before you. And when you were young, you intended to be saved. Here you are today, still not saved. Remember a lady come to our church. And after she'd come two or three Sundays, she asked me if I would call out at her house, and I did. She said, "My husband's not saved, and he wouldn't go hardly to a church, but if you come up, maybe he'd listen to you." And I went up one day, and he was an old man. And it was a quaint little house. Big roaring fire going. There was only one way in and the same way out. The front door was the back door. The back door was the front door. And he must have got a whiff that it was coming. And it just, the door was lying wide open, and it just tapped it and walked through. And he just rose from the seat of the fire. And he said, "Mr. Morrow, it's great to see you. Come on up to the fire." And he gave me his seat and he walked out the door. And I thought, "In all your years, son, you've learned nothing." And he was gone. Gone. Thought I'd drop back maybe soon again. Probably didn't think that I would come back that soon. For some reason, we don't get the name of that. I dropped back the very next week and was lashing out of the heavens, and there he was, sitting at the fire. And just as you walked through the door, there was a table and four chairs pushed in. And just as I walked through, up he got, "Great to see you." And he just was going to offer me his seat, and I said, no, "You're all right." And I pulled a chair out from the table. He set it down in front of the door. And if he was going to get out, he was going to walk over me. Talked to him about the soul. And every time we talk about it, he didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to talk about the weather. He wanted to talk about the price of beasts. He wanted to talk about world politics. He wanted to talk about everything. And every time I spoke to him about his soul, he just diverted me away to something else. Frustrated, I thought I'd just read and pray and leave. And then he said to me, he said, "Mr. Barr, I'm sure you couldn't guess what age I am." "No," I said, "I couldn't." He says, "I'm 82. And he says, "You know, I walked with the lodge to the field and back again. And I praised him for that. And then I said to him, 'Tell me this, in your 82 years of living, did you ever think about getting saved?' Well," now he said, "that's something you can't push it." I looked him in the face, and I said as lovingly as I could, "Friend, the only thing you're rushing into is hell. Left that house that day, and his son stood on the man's door at the end of the week. His mother had rang me, or the man's wife, and I rushed to the hospital. He was so ill, and all the doctors were working with him. His son stood on the doorstep and said, 'My daddy's dead.' And oh, it would have been the same with Zacchaeus that day or never. For Jesus was just passing through. My friend, he's passing through tonight, and you need to lay hold upon him. There's an urgency in the matter. Tomorrow may be a day too late. It would have been a day too late for Zacchaeus. But But thank God for him it was a victorious day. For the Bible says he made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. Now, some people think, you know, if they were to get saved tonight, why, the whole joy would go out of living. My friend, I want to tell you, the whole joy will come into your living. You have an existence without Christ. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And we have his conversion. It says in verse 6, he made haste, he came to him, he received him joyfully. You see, he heard the Savior's call. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down for today. And the Bible says he heard the call. Think of the crowd all around him. And yet the Lord called him personally. Listen, listen, young person. No matter about that young person beside you, they might not be a bit interested. They might not be even listening to this message. Maybe you're sitting there figuring in a book in your hand or drawing pictures in something. You're not interested. Listen, young person. Don't you let that other person beside you take you down. And oh, they want to go to hell. It may be you'll have to let them go to hell. But in God's name, don't you go to hell with them. And Zacchaeus had people around him. And they were hell bent on going to hell. But he was not going to go to hell with them. He heard the Savior's call. Have you heard the Savior calling? But oh, there's people around you. They're standing in your way. And he heeded the Savior's call because the Bible says that he came, or he made haste. He came down. He received him joyfully. Now, there are many things that could have stood in that man's way. It was, of course, the matter of his position. He was a tax collector. They were corrupt, sinful, ungodly people. They robbed many a man and many a woman of what was rightfully theirs, and they made themselves rich dishonestly. And all pride could have been a problem. You know, for some, it's a matter of their position. What would people think if you got saved? What would they think about you in your place of work? They would laugh, jest, joke, and all the rest of it. And you would be afraid that they might say those things. Or is it pride? You've got your own preconceived idea about God's way of salvation. You'll come your way. You'll come in your time. Like Agrippa who said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee. He thought he could organize the right day to come to Christ. But he never could and he never did. And the Lord puts the emphasis upon today, the now. There was the matter of the past. If I have taken anything wrongfully, of course he'd taken many things wrongfully. He says, I will restore them. Here's a man. The Lord has worked on his heart. He's going to put the wrongs right. You know, there's a message that has gone silent today, folks, and that's the message of restitution. That this man was going to make it. And maybe there's wrongs, Christian, you need to put right. You sitting in this church, and there's somebody that you're not even speaking to. Is there somebody and you're holding a grudge against them? Then you wonder why people don't come to Christ. And there was another problem. He was a sinner. Because listen to what verse 7 says. And when they saw it, that is the others around them, they all murmured saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Even the sinners of the community are referring to Zacchaeus as a sinner. He was a big sinner among sinners. He was a notorious sinner. Even sinners recognized him as the ultimate of sinners. They said, Christ gone to be guest with him, sir. But the Bible tells us the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. That's why there's hope for me. That's why there's hope for you. Christ died for sinners. My friend, we're sinners tonight. But Christ died for us. But had he not come that night, that was his last opportunity, for Jesus was going on up to the cross to die. And I'll tell you something, if you read your Bible carefully, that is the last recorded conversion before Jesus died, with the exception of the thief on the cross. That's how vital that day was. Gorman Jones, the Welsh miner, got saved. Bought a little portable hall. Went around the mining villages of Wales preaching the gospel. Little portable hall would be filled to capacity every night. People knew him. He worked with him. He was one of them. They came to support him. Very, very reserved person. Very, very, very Calvinistic in his teachings and beliefs. And when he would preach the gospel, he wouldn't really even give an appeal. But one night after preaching, his little hall was packed to capacity. The people were bowed in prayer. He said, if there's somebody in this meeting tonight and God has spoken to your heart, I want you to do something. I want you to put your hand up. An indication you're going to give your life to Christ. And nobody put their hand up. And still while the people are bowed in prayer, he walked down the pulpit steps and walked down the aisle and walked right to the back seat. And there was a young man of 21 years of age, and he had bowed his head in his hands. And Gorman Jones went up to him quietly while the whole meeting was hushed. And he said, young man, don't you think tonight you should give your heart to Jesus? The young man lifted his head out of his hands, and with rage in his face and his eyes, looked into the face of Gorman Jones, the preacher, and he said, to hell with you and your Christ. Gorman Jones said, young man, the plank for your coffin is already in the undertaker's shop. Back and closed the meeting. Couldn't come to terms that he was so impulsed to make that appeal and nobody responded. Didn't sleep that night. Got up the next day and home where he was staying. And the whole commotion out in the village. He pulled himself together and he went out and tried to find out what had happened or what was going on. And some of the men said to him, listen, after your meeting last night, we had to go on the night shift. We were down in the coal mines. and a part of the mine caved in and six of our men were trapped. We worked the whole night through and we got five men free. But when we got to our last man, he was dead. It was the young man who said, "To hell with you and your Christ." You wouldn't say that to me tonight if I said to you going out the door. Don't you think you'd be saved tonight? But oh, my friend, is that not the very attitude of your heart? As you get up night after night and trample Jesus' blood under your feet, shut the door of your heart against him and shut him out. You want it your way. You want to live your life. Jesus wants to give you a better life, an abundant life, an eternal life. And he says, today, what will you do with Jesus today? What will you do with Jesus now, tonight, in this meeting? Neutral you cannot be, and someday your heart may be asking, what will Jesus do with me? Or should I say, what will you do without Christ? You can say, I can live without Christ. And many do. Sadly, they do. And you can say, I can die without Christ. And many in Ulster die without Christ. But one thing you can't do is get into heaven without Christ. Because Jesus says, I'm the door. By me, there's no other way. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Today. Knocking on the door of your life today. Listen, there might never be another day like this day. You've an opportunity tonight that you might never have again. You could be in God's eternity tomorrow. You could be in a lost eternity tomorrow. Therefore, let me encourage you to come to Christ. To come tonight. Do it now. Would you come? Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we just pray that you write these thoughts upon our heart, bring an urgency upon the souls of men and women, that they might realize today is an important day and today they need to be sealed, and that you will give deciding grace. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are shut, my friend, you have a decision to make today. What will you now do with Jesus? Will you come to Christ? Would you come to Christ in the atmosphere of this meeting? For the moment you go outside, people will come talking about other things. But these thoughts will be thrust away. Would you come to Christ now? Is there someone in this meeting, a man or a woman or boy or girl or teenager, do you know you need to be saved? And saved tonight. Why not slip your hand up now and take it down again? And when others go, we'd love to show you the Bible, how you can be saved and how you can be sure. Is there a backslider? Keeping our heads bowed and our eyes shut, we're going to sing a little verse of invitation. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And friend, you should sing it. Make it the prayer of your heart and come to the Savior. Come with haste and receive him joyfully. Let's sing it, folks, prayerfully. Let's see your hand. Step out of the promise. Get under the blood tonight. Be sure you're saved, just as I am. Is there someone anywhere in the meeting, man or woman, boy or girl, teenager, sinner or backslider, and tonight you're coming? Is there one? Quickly. You not just slip up your hand and take it down again. That will not save you. Be an indication, yes, I'm going to give my life to Christ. He wasn't ashamed of you at the cross. Is there one then? Quickly. Tonight you're coming. Sinner or backslider, just slip up your hand. be here when others go away. But friend, don't go away without Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will give deciding grace, that hearts will be drawn to thyself, that this night they'll call upon the Lord and be saved. Separate us now with your blessing. Grant to all during mercies, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.